This special March Madness episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by the 5-4 Club, the LA-based menswear brand that ships you 2 to 4 seasonally curated items right to your door every month for just $60. We might be talking at some point in this bracket about the 5 seed versus the 4 seeds. With a style profile to match every guy, whether you're looking for clothes for the office, the club, a lazy weekend, or whatever, 5-4 has you covered. They've got 4 style profiles, the classic, the casual, forward, and mix, with free shipping that sends direct delivery right to your doorstep. You can avoid all those trips to the mall and consistently build up your wardrobe with clothes that have been picked out already by the professionals. And believe me, I could use all the help that I can get. I can't tell you how many times my wife will say to me, "Is that what you're wearing?" Let 5-4 Club do all the thinking for you. Right now, our listeners can get a great offer. You can get a double package for the first month of membership to 5-4 Club. That's $240 worth of clothing for only $60 with the promo code RHAP at 54club.com. So check out that double package of clothes in your first month at 5-4 Club. Spell out the numbers FIVEFOUR club.com and use promo code RHAP. This offer expires March 31st. So check it out, 54club.com with promo code RHAP. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with some special coverage here today. I know everybody around here has the March Madness, and hopefully you Survivor fans are no exception, because this is the kickoff for our official Survivor March Madness tournament, and you're listening to our Selection Sunday Berquist Spectacular. And I'm going to set up everything that we're going to do here today. This is going to be a very ridiculous 2-part podcast. And today we are going to learn about the bracket as we try to reveal a tournament to determine the best Survivor winner of the 32 people that have won Survivor. So first, let me welcome in the man who had this idea, came to me with this back in December, and we've been talking it through since. Welcome to the podcast for the first time, Randy Neupel. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here and glad we got to do this. This is going to be really exciting.
It's going to be a very exciting podcast. And when you talked to me about this, I said, okay, I need to get my guy who, if you're doing a fantasy league, if you're watching every episode of Seinfeld, if you're ranking 306 different Olympic events, he's your guy. Get him in here. Please welcome back to the podcast, Akiva Whitaker. Akiva, how are you?
So you're basically saying I have the biggest gambling problem out of anybody you know, and that's why I'm here.
No, I think we established that you've never even placed a bet with a bookie before on a recent Seinfeld podcast.
Okay, fair enough. By the way, the biggest upset of March so far was just finding out how Randy's last name is pronounced.
Yes, who knew? Who knew, Paul?
Yeah.
All right, so Randy, how did you first realize that we would have 32 Survivor winners this spring and it would perfectly coincide for some sort of March Madness tournament? Is it true you were hanging a clock over your toilet and you slipped off and fell and hit your head and then saw the bracket?
I don't get the reference, but yes.
Okay, good. We'll go with that.
But yeah, we were talking back in December about different things that we could do. And I decided we should combine two of my favorite things, March Madness and Survivor. And this year fits up pretty well with the start of Survivor, about the same week at the start of March Madness, and with us having 32 different winners. It fit pretty perfectly.
And we started talking about how we were going to do this. I think I had two key pieces of input here. One was that this part where we revealed the bracket should be called Selection Sunday Berquist. That was my
Absolutely.
Contribution.
And that was key. That was very key.
Right.
To this.
And then Akiva, we were talking about, well, what should there be? And we were kicking around the idea of, well, should we let the fans vote? And I feel like that's been done. Voting is over. That's voting doesn't solve anything, Akiva. I said that we need to build a computer that will simulate the seasons 1,000 times and then give us the answers in all of the winner matchups. But then when that proved to be non-feasible, short of Sean Falconer quitting his full-time job to work on this project, then I said, what if we built a Survivor Supreme Court?
Right. I think in terms of like voting is over, this is more of an RHAP electoral college that will make the decision for the people.
Yes. So we have gathered together a Survivor Supreme Court of 9 justices who are going to make the decisions as to who moves on over who. We'll get into the identities of the Survivor Supreme Court. We did at least half-heartedly attempt to track down Merrick Garland and offer him a position, right, Akiva?
That's true. That's true. I even like started messaging people whose last name was Garland who live in Merrick, and you told me to just give up.
The bit wasn't funny anymore. Joke went too far to get some random guy whose last name was Garland who lived in Merrick, New York, to be one of the justices. I thought I was going to throw everything off. So we have 9 people who will decide on everything. Keeve, can you talk a little bit about the construction of the Survivor Supreme Court?
Well, we didn't want to have just, you know, 9 people coming from the same perspective. So I picked, I figured we'd have 3 different categories. We'd have fans, just regular, you know, super fans. And then we'd have 3 of those. Then we'd have 3 podcasters, because I guess podcasters have a different perspective than fans. And then, to really make this legitimate, I thought we should have 3 survivors, which are much harder to find 3 survivors who've seen all 33 seasons. And
that know what they're talking about.
And know what they're talking about. And again, the restrictions for the survivors were they can't be on the current season, because even though we're technically voting on, you know, individual winners, so, you know, very likely, unless JT or Sandra Tony win, like their person's just not in the bracket.
Right.
You know, they'll be colored by whatever happened that, you know, that they're obviously spoiled on. So nobody from season 34 was eligible and no former winners because they were too biased.
And so let me also just add, very important for historical purposes, that we are recording this Selection Sunday special here on Monday, March 6th. It is currently 2 days away from the Survivor premiere. JT and Tony could go out back to back in the premiere. And
Sandra could quit, and then like all 3 of them are gone, and everything we're going to say is going to be totally invalid.
Right. And none of that will have any bearing on the results from everything that we talk about here. Everything is from a pre-Game Changers perspective, Randy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm really happy with the Supreme Court that we get, and I think it'll be interesting to hear what we got coming up.
Okay, so we'll do the reveal on that towards the end of this Selection Sunday special. But Randy, what we're going to do now is reveal the seedings of the 32 Survivor winners. Now, before we get to what the seedings are and how we got there, what are we looking at? Are we looking at, as I did with the Evolution of Strategy, just the performance of the player in the particular season they won? Or, say, in the case of a Boston Rob, are we looking at a resume over 4 seasons?
Yeah, we had this discussion in the building of this before we went out to the Supreme Court, and we felt like this was a winner competition. So we are just looking at the winner's winning game, not looking at any previous or post games that they may have participated in, just their winning season.
Okay.
I mean, it's super hard to compare someone who's played once to someone who's played 4 times and won, like Boston Rob.
Absolutely.
So, Akiva, what about in the case of Sandra? Are we looking at her winning game from Pearl Islands or her winning game from Heroes versus Villains?
Well, if you think about it, there's technically 33 winners, and we need a round number bracket, 32. I mean, if we didn't do it this year, we'd have to wait basically 30-something more Survivor seasons just to get this going without, you know, a million buys. And
so do we have a play-in game?
So, yeah, for Sandra, we're going to have a play-in game, and the winner of the Sandra versus Sandra play-in game makes the round of 32.
No, that's what we're doing?
Yes. And the reason you don't know that is because I believe Randy and I didn't need to ask you who won because we both had the same winner and your vote was totally irrelevant.
You got to have voted there.
Okay. So only one Sandra is making the bracket?
I mean, wouldn't it be less fair to, you know, let's say the worst winner ever was, Parvati, just as a ridiculous example.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be unfair for Parvati not to make the bracket and then there to be 2. You know, 2 Sandras and 0 Parvatis.
But wouldn't we want the excitement of Sandra Pearl Islands facing off against Sandra Heroes versus Villains?
Yeah, and as exciting as that would be, how would we decide who is 33rd then?
I'm just here to podcast about this. You guys did all the legwork on it, so it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, it's also worth pointing out, in case this is a tiny bit confusing, the way the seeding works is we unbeknownst to Rob, we took Rob's Evolution of Strategy Survivor winner rankings without, you know, not using your last two because you don't have rankings yet for, I guess, the last three winners.
Yeah.
And then I made my own rankings and Randy made his own rankings. And Randy used those to seed. And that's at that point, that's where you and I are completely unspoiled as to this exercise. You and I both have no idea what the seedings are and certainly who won any of the matchups. And Randy has all that information.
Okay.
So we are, as of right now, we are fully unspoiled on the... we have no idea what's coming after this.
And then what we're going to do here today is that Randy is going to give us the seeds. We are going to preview the bracket. And then Akiva and I are going to go through the same exercise that we will allow you to do, that we are going to fill out our bracket... And then after a week, we will be back here to go through the bracket, and Akiva and I will have some sort of a bet that we will do, and we will find out the results of the Survivor Supreme Court, who advanced through each round to get to the winner of the Survivor Winners Bracket. We will record this all today. In one sitting, we'll take a break when we fill out our bracket. But for you guys, a week's time will have passed. And who knows what will have changed in the world, Akiva.
Yeah, a way to really like lift the veil on you know, we could have pretended.
No, full
like
disclosure,
we were
full disclosure, because especially it's very important for us to, you know, we could lie and say like, oh, no, this is today. But then hypothetically, again, you said like, OK, Sandra quits in the first episode of Survivor Game Changers. And then, you know, there's no mention of this while we're doing that. So we need to just be very upfront about when we're recording this and the time and the place, the purity of our rankings of these 32 winners.
Yeah, nothing is more important than the purity of like, you know, ranking on podcast.
Yeah. And in a perfect world, we would have gotten this in the preseason. But, you know, Akiva had to go and have another kid this week.
I know. I try not have kids during football season. Now I have to like really factor in like preseason Survivor podcasting season to the equation.
Yeah. Randy, for the offseason, could we get a bracket of Akiva's four kids going where we can start the seeding?
I'll get the Supreme Court on.
Yeah. Well, and I'm really excited about the Survivor Supreme Court because I have a lot of questions in mind for them besides just what we do here today. So I like the idea of being able to kick important questions over to the Survivor Supreme Court. All right. So, Randy, I guess let's start this conversation by telling us how are we going to get through this bracket? Should I just be drawing this as we go along?
Yeah, you can. I'll send you guys the bracket afterwards so you can fill out during our little break here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to preview the winners in groups of four that they're going to be matched up against. I'm not going to go straight down the bracket just to add a little bit of intrigue to the seedings that some people may be listening along and trying to guess. So I'm kind of going to be going sporadic through the bracket, but at the end you'll see it all together in the true form.
Akiva, anything else that we need to set up here?
No, I know this is probably already complicated enough, but I feel like we should be gambling on the seeds also on the side, Rob.
How are we going to gamble on the seeds?
I don't know. Like, what if I have no idea? I guess also we did input on the seeds, so I maybe that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be too many major surprises with the seeds, but I guess we will see how it plays out. And then in terms of the listeners who want to play along, we will have a PDF that you can print up on robhasawebsite.com. Go to robhasawebsite.com/March Madness to be able to get the PDF of the printout that you can fill out and then bet against your Survivor friends. And then we'll see how it all plays out together in part two of our Survivor March Madness Selection Sunday part two.
Yeah, that name is, we're the one thing we're good at, Rob, you and I, is naming things.
Yeah.
That was like a 45 word title that won't even fit in iTunes.
I know. The only good thing that we have is Survivor Selection Sunday Berquist.
And not March Mad Dogness. You don't like that.
I'm in. Okay. March Mad Dogness for Marilyn Hershey.
All right. So I think we should start, Randy, with the Sandra versus Sandra 32 versus 33 round.
Okay.
Okay, if you want to start there, we can. Just keep in mind, this is not particularly the 32 versus the 33, because we will be taking Sandra at her higher ranking.
Okay.
So when between the three of us, we all put our rankings in, and as Akiva already brought up, didn't matter because Rob was outvoted because Akiva and I both agreed. The Sandra that we will be talking about will be Sandra in Heroes vs. Villains.
Okay. There you go.
Rob, would you have voted similarly if you had a vote there?
I do believe that I had the Heroes versus Villains Sandra ahead of the Pearl Islands Sandra in my TEOS winner rankings, but I believe they have them back to back. So that's fine. It is what it is. Let's not get too hung up on that.
Yeah. And along with that, the looming that she's already a winner kind of carries with her to the second game. So she already has that target on her in the second game. So that kind of brings it in a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know how you could isolate the Sandra that's won and then take away the other, like her, like sometimes for these winners, they come back and they play a game that isn't as good. I don't know how you could like walk back that, you know, what she's learned in this other game. So that's fine. Okay. So now how do we go from here?
I will go ahead and lead us through our first matchup.
Okay.
So where we're going to start is we have the 5 seed, the strategic Todd Herzog, winner of Survivor China, versus the 28 seed Amber Burkitch of Survivor All-Stars.
Okay.
There's one big 32 seed bracket. That's what you're saying. It's not two
correct.
Separate
ones.
It's
one big 32 seed straight up taking our 3 seedings that I received and averaging them together.
Okay. And one other important note, when we get to the Survivor Supreme Court and their findings, that they were not given any seeding information. Is that correct, Randy?
Correct. Yes. They did not know who we seeded. They just knew the matchup.
So the 5-28 match, Todd versus Amber Burkitch Mariano. Boy, and you would think this one is going to be a cakewalk for the higher seeded Todd. Todd, I think at 5 is pretty highly seeded. You guys must have had him like sky high, Keith.
Yeah, Rand, did you have him a number 1? I mean, that seems really high for Todd. Wow.
I had him number 3, and the two of you both agreed at number 9.
Now, what was the criteria? Can you give us any insight into how the Survivor Supreme Court is going to look at this, Randy?
I don't know specifically what they based it off of. They definitely added comments to their winner choices. But I think what's interesting about the Survivor Supreme Court is you have different people coming from different perspectives. So some people may focus more on a strategic gameplay, while others may be looking more at the social or the physical point of the game.
Okay, so when we get to the Survivor Supreme Court, will you be adding any of that commentary to their findings?
Absolutely.
And also, I think it bears noting that the Survivor Supreme Court, like, they were not all sequestered together and discussing this either. They all were writing back to who? To you, Randy?
To me, and they did not know who each other were as well.
Okay, all right. So they were all independent operators in the Survivor Supreme Court.
Correct.
So, Keeve, do you want to color this Todd versus Amber battle at all?
I mean, it would be a pretty big shock if Amber would win. I also, should we give out, as we, you know, we keep on thinking of things for like every different matchup it's worth saying. I think we should give out like a most valuable voter award also to like the best Supreme Court justice.
Okay.
What do you think?
If like they have good commentary, do you have like a comment from each person?
Good commentary, good votes. And also like the worst one, I think, gets kicked off for the next time you use the Supreme Court and we have to find a replacement.
Now, is this a lifetime appointment to the Survivor Supreme Court, Keeve?
I think it is, but we have the power to kick them off.
Okay.
Someone's misconduct? Getting voted out of the Supreme Court. Yeah. Whoever's the worst voter of the 9 is getting booted.
I know you always want to do this. Okay, I guess let's...
And also, Rob and I are going to gamble on who the worst person's going to be, but we'll do that offline. I have a strong favorite.
Okay, so you have a 5 versus 28 seed of Todd versus Amber. Okay, I mean, let's, we can have all this discussion when we get to part 2. So this is just the Selection Sunday Burquist show. So, Randy, well, I guess let's just keep going.
Yep, and the winner of that one will play our 12 seed, the winner of the 12 seed... Natalie Anderson from San Juan del Sur versus the 21 seed Chris Doherty from Vanuatu.
Wow.
I heard a rumor, Rob, that Natalie Anderson was supposed to be on Game Changers, but she realized that would compromise her position for this bracket. She didn't want to mess it up.
She was worried about her legacy.
Well, I think Chris Daugherty is very underrated here at the 21 seed. He could be prime for some upsets.
Yeah, he's a live dog, Chris Daugherty. Everyone says the 12 versus 21 seed is basically a coin toss every year.
I mean, this is going to be interesting because the Survivor Supreme Court, I don't think they're going to know who's the favorite in this matchup.
Yeah, I think this could be an interesting one to play, see how this plays out.
Okay. Keith?
I think when people when people see, you know, Todd versus Amber, they'll know, you know, especially the more sort of sports, you know, anybody who's familiar with the bracket will see right away, like, okay, yeah, Todd is probably pretty high, maybe not five high, but they'll know he's a top 10 seed. But that, you know, Natalie Anderson versus Chris Daugherty could be like a 16-17 situation or something.
Okay, could be a coin flip for the Survivor Supreme Court. All right, then what's next?
So we'll flip around. We'll go to our sixth seed, who we will be seeing very soon, the winner of Survivor Token Chains, JT, versus our 27 seed, Vesepia, versus from Marquesas.
Now, how does this bracket work? Are they in the same sort of regional as Todd, Amber, Natalie, and Chris Daugherty, or is this now from the bottom up?
This is a different group of four.
And is the winner of this group of four playing the winner from the previous group of four?
No.
Okay. All right. So should I put this at the bottom of my paper?
This one is at the very bottom. If we're looking at eight groups of four, the first one that we said is the fourth group. This one is the eighth group.
Okay. JT versus Vesepia. And what were those seedings? JT was six and Vesepia was what?
27.
Okay. Feels like this is a pretty easy first round matchup for JT, Keeve.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if Vesepia is going to get a vote or not. I'd say there's going to be 8-1 JT, but JT certainly has a chance to sweep this. I'm a big JT guy. I picked him first in the in the drafts we did back in June.
I think it was either on Reddit or in the Robert's podcast comments that you were getting some flack for your JT love.
Yeah, that's the first time anyone's ever been super negative in a comments on the internet. So
yeah, who does the winner of JT Vesepia square off against?
They will match up against the 11 and the 22 seed. We have at the 11 seed. From Survivor Thailand, we got Brian Heidick. Mm. And from the Survivor Worlds Apart, Mike Holloway.
Mike Holloway and Brian Heidick.
It's an interesting matchup. I feel like these guys would not get along at all in real life also.
Yeah, that's a real clash of styles, Akiva.
I mean, on the island, it's like it's an interesting clash. I feel like, you know, in person, it's a totally separate thing.
Sure. Okay, this is going to be a real interesting slobber knocker for the Survivor Supreme Court to handle, Randy.
I think so, too.
What's our next grouping?
Okay, we're going to be looking at the second grouping out of the group of eight, if we're going from top to bottom. We're looking at the 8 seed, Denise Stapley, from Survivor Philippines, versus the 25 seed from Season 2, Tina Wesson.
Okay. Denise versus Tina. Again, this is, an 8-25 battle, Keeve, but I could see the Survivor Supreme Court going either way on this one.
Yeah, there's definitely not going to be a 9-0 shutout. If I was just looking at this, if I was on the Supreme Court, I wouldn't know that this was 8-25. I think it was more like one of them was like 15 and the other one was closer to 20. So I think Tina definitely has a chance to be, you know, maybe pull off an upset heard around the Survivor world here.
You know, there's not a lot of mom Survivor winners, but two of them are going to square off there in the 8-25 matchup. Okay, so the winner of 8-25, what do they have to look forward to, Randy?
They will take the winner of the 9 versus the 24. We have our 9 seed, Earl Cole, versus the 24 seed, Danny Boatwright.
So you have winners from the early teens squaring off, Earl versus Danny, two people that were in the mix for Game Changers, seemingly, according to some rumors that were reported by Redmond, Keeve.
Yeah, they're actually two of the winners that I'd really be interested in seeing play again, just because, like, you know, like we said, it's so hard to compare the people who've played four times, the people who played once. Like, you know, Earl comes out again and, like, you know, stomps the competition and, you know, he would be, you know, we would talk about him in like reverential terms. And Danny also was one of the most unusual winners just because she did so many things off camera. So this is an interesting matchup.
The Denise, Tina, Earl, Danny group of four is set. Where do we go next, Randy?
Next, we're going to head down to our fifth group. We're going to look at the 2 seed, Tom Westman from Survivor Palau, versus our 31 seed, Fabio.
Okay. Tom Westman versus Fabio, Keeve.
Tom Westman's two? That's actually a big surprise. He might be a Gonzaga. You know, you get the two seed, but I'm not, you know, you could maybe beat the 31, but somewhere along the way, someone's going to punch above their weight. What did I have Tom Westman at?
You had Tom Westman at number 7.
Okay. So someone must have been really high on him.
Yeah, Randy, what'd you have him at? -2?
I had him at 6.
Wait, so how did he get so high? Is it just that the other ranking, the averages that...
Our other rankings were pretty far apart, and we all had him within our top 6 or 7. So he ended up as the 2 seed. He averaged a 5.3 between the three of us. So it just happened that we had other people who was... pretty different rankings.
Okay. Keeve, could Tom Westman be a bit of a paper tiger 2 seed?
I think so. I also think I thought this was a foolproof plan by us, Rob, where we could sort of do this podcast, but push off all the bad decisions onto the Supreme Court. So like the comments, they will be mad, but it'll be like, how could idiots on the Supreme Court, you know, pick, you know, person A over person B. But now I realize people are just going to be like railing on our terrible rankings, and we really did not avoid any of the wrath. And now the Supreme Court could just be like, what was I going to do? Like, Tom Westman's ranked 2. There was nothing we could do.
Well, they're not going to have the ranking, so hopefully we'll be able to avoid somewhat of the backlash.
Yeah, but the lesson is like never make decisions yourself. Always like we should have had a second Supreme Court. By the way, I always like to do like absurdly, you know, time consuming ideas, and you're always talking me out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do, like, instead of a Supreme Court, I wanted to do Family Feud style and ask 100 people. And you said I would never get 100 emails back. And I said, all right, so we'll get like 80. But you did talk me out of that.
Yeah. All right. So Tom Westman versus Fabio. What was the seeding on Fabio again?
He was the 31 seed.
Okay. So the two.
Rob, a fun game is, in the NCAA tournament, it always equals 17, every matchup in the first round. 1, 16, 8, 9, 5, 12, 4, 13, 6, 11, 3, 14, 7, 10, 2, 15. So here it's always going to equal 33. That's your like little clue for the bracket.
Okay, look at that, Keith.
Yeah, I've looked at a few brackets in my day.
So, Randy, the winner of Tom versus Fabio faces off against the winner of what matchup?
We'll have the 15 versus 18 matchup. And I think this is one of the more interesting matchups, in my opinion, when we're looking at the first round. We have our fans versus favorites matchup, the 15 Parvati versus the 18 Cochran.
Okay, Parvati versus Ooh. Cochran in the first round, Keeve.
Ooh, that's going to be a bloodbath. That I like that matchup, actually.
All right, that one's going to be on the main CBS channel.
That's good. Well, yeah, by the way, we should have been saying, for every matchup, like, is this CBS, TBS, TNT, or True TV? What do you think so far is a True TV matchup? I feel like Tom Westman versus Fabio is True TV.
Yeah, maybe the JT versus Vesepia also is, you know, a bit of a blowout, but who knows? I don't want to color people's brackets.
Oh, you get, like, the online only. We'll find one matchup that's like, they don't even bother, like, sending the, you know.
But
they record that, like, the announcers are actually in the studio. They just don't tell you.
Randy, this one's a bracket buster because, you know, somebody, you could have Cochran going to the Final Four and Parvati knocks him out in the first round.
Yeah, you have two of the bigger names when we come to winners, two of the more well-known winners we got here that match up in the first round, and someone could get messed up their whole way through.
All right. So I'm taking it that you guys were pretty low on Cochran in your rankings.
I don't remember my rankings. So.
I was about even with you. We'll say that.
Okay. Oh, Keeve must have been very down on the Cochran.
Where did I have a Cochran, Randy?
You had Cochran at 21.
Okay. So I guess that's your answer.
Okay. All right. Not too bad. All right. So then what are you going to give us next, Randy?
Next, we're going to go to the very top of the bracket and look at our one seed. We have the one seed, Kim Spradlin, versus the 32 seed, Bob Crowley.
Okay. Kim versus Bob, 1 versus 32.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be 9-0. Everyone, a 32 seed has literally never beaten a 1 seed. It's not going to happen now.
It's never happened before, Keeve?
Never. No.
This could be the year.
Yeah.
If someone votes for Bob, then we have to retroactively kick them out and redo the rest of the bracket.
Right, so we have our winner for who did the worst on the Survivor Supreme Court.
But do you think they might be hinky votes just to like make this a little crazy?
No, I think so.
There's a couple people here. I could see throwing a hinky vote somewhere in there just to like be a troll.
I should hope not. I hope we didn't pick anybody for the Survivor Supreme Court that was going to be making hinky votes.
Well, we'll see. We have some wackos here. Not really. I'm just teasing. They're all good.
Like anybody listening to this podcast.
No, nobody's listening.
Everybody. Once they heard what it was, they turned it off. All right.
Well, with once they tried to hear what it was, and then we explained it so poorly, they were probably like, don't worry.
All right. They went back to filling out their real brackets. All right. So the winner of Bob versus Kim, whoever it might be, they will face the winner of what matchup?
We'll have the absolute toss-up, the 16 versus the 17. So we have, for the 16, from Survivor Africa, we have Ethan Zahn. And for number 17, we have Sophie Clark.
Ooh, Ethan Ooh. Versus Sophie. 16 versus 17. Wow.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah. So this is some exciting
matchups.
That's like
matchups. CBS Thursday night, 10:30, last game of the day. I like it.
Which foursome are you going to give us next, Randy?
Next one we are going to look at is going to be the second from the bottom. We're looking at the 3 seed.
Okay.
Rob Mariano versus our 30 seed, Jenna Marasca.
Okay. Two Ooh. People that I have played with.
Yep.
Two people that have gone further than me in seasons that I have played with. Now, if I have this correct from what I've been scribbling down, the only way that Boston Rob could face off against Amber Berkich Mariano would be if they were to meet in the finals. Is this correct, Randy?
That is correct. Okay.
Keeve, is that what you have on your bracket?
I'll pretend like I'm also filling one out and not just totally guessing right now. But yes. No, I think that would have been, it almost happened. It would have been a cool sort of, you could have made a case for Amber. She did beat Boston Rob, but, not really. But I think that, it's best that we keep those two on total opposite sides. It's like Venus and Serena. You never want them to face off in the second round of Wimbledon just because one has a bad seed. You want them to face off in the finals.
Yes. So then who faces the winner of Marasca versus Boston Rob?
This is the other really interesting matchup we have here, in my opinion. We have two legends. We have the number 14 seed, Richard Hatch, the original Survivor, versus the winner of our play-in game, Sandra Diaz-Twine, as the number 19 seed.
Oh, boy.
I had a few Supreme Court members not happy with this first-round matchup.
Okay, what seeding is Sandra? So she is
19. Yeah, Rich at 14, Sandra at 19.
Okay, all right. Hatch versus
that's
Sandra.
That's a great matchup
in the first
big
round.
Big ratings for Rich versus Sandra.
Yeah. Wow. Two Titans, two battering rams. All right.
I'm trying to think who I would pick. I mean, I know who I'd pick, but that's a good matchup.
All right. Hatch versus Sandra. Okay. So then, who's next, Randy?
So next, we have up in our third group, we have the 4 seed from Cook Islands, Yul Kwan, versus the winner of Survivor Samoa, Natalie White.
Okay.
The 4 versus the 29 seed.
Keith, what channel is this one on?
Yeah, this gets like the Mike Gominski or whatever his name is, like the eighth announcing team.
With the 4:29 game.
Is like where they put like Oregon versus Montana, usually like the game that the East Coast doesn't even get.
Okay, the winner of Yul versus Natalie White takes on the winner of what matchup?
Well, it'll be the 13 versus the 20, and this we have here is our blood versus water rematch. We have the 13 seed Tyson versus the 20 seed Aris.
Oh, wow, that's
Ooh,
a good matchup!
That's a great one,
yeah,
very excited about that one.
It's like a WrestleMania card, big rivalry.
Oh, you mean you wouldn't waste that at like Fastlane or something? You're saying you're
no.
That's WrestleMania only.
Tyson versus Aris.
That is a good one.
So Yul, Natalie White, Tyson, Aris. One of them will move on, and then we have only one more quadrant.
Correct.
Is that right, Keith? Is that the right terminology?
Yeah, the fours are quadrants. Correct.
Okay. They have those on Star Trek also. Quadrants, Akiva.
Oh, stop with your Star Trek stuff. That, you know what? This podcast was too cool and really needed a Star Trek reference to bring it down.
Okay. All right. Randy, give us the last foursome.
Our last foursome is we have the number 7 seed, Team TV. We got Tony.
Oh, wow.
Versus the winner of Survivor Ko-Rong, Michelle Fitzgerald.
Okay.
So we have the 7 versus the 26.
Okay. Tony versus Mish Fitz.
Yeah. I mean, the Mish supporters are going to be out in full force, but I know the Mish stands and the Tony stands are both pretty vocal. So this could be this, so I'm thinking like which of these matchups had we gone to like full public voting would have been the ugliest. I feel, I don't know how the Mish fans could have gone with her over Tony, but she definitely has some vocal supporters.
Yeah.
I would have really liked to see like Tyson and Aris campaign against each other.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad we didn't do a vote. I feel like then people could just take it up with the Survivor Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is a tough first round matchup for one of my. I am a Mish Fitz supporter.
Yeah,
and it's a tough matchup for her.
But you know what? The podcasting founding fathers had it right when they came up with the idea of the Survivor Supreme Court, because then you would have had chaos with all of the comments and everything. But then you just have the Survivor Supreme Court that they decree it to be that way. And then that's it. You can't say anything. You can't even challenge the ruling, Keith.
I have to accept it.
No, you could complain, but what are you going to do? Like, you know, you can't lobby because it's already happened. And, you know, you're basically stuck with these guys until, you know, they I don't want to say die, but until they retire.
Right. And that's why there's three branches of podcasting.
That's right. That's right. We got to keep them separate.
Okay. All right. And then the final two people are who, Randy?
We have the final two, which are two recent unanimous winners. We have the 10 seed Jeremy Collins versus the 23 seed Adam Klein.
Ooh. Ooh.
Someone's hating on Adam Klein, and I think it might have been me.
You're correct there.
Okay.
All right. So what are those seeds again, Randy? Can you reset that?
We got Jeremy at the 10 and Adam at the 23.
Jeremy 10, Adam Klein 23. Okay. Very interesting grouping there of Tony, Mish Fitz, Jeremy, and Adam Klein. It's interesting that you have like one group of four and you have all people that played in the last, five seasons from when we did this?
Yeah.
That's kind of nutty. But that's how it broke down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. We had a lot of that throughout. We had the earlier with Earl and Danny, and where they were pretty close. So we've had a lot of that little matchups.
Okay. And now with perfect timing, Randy has now emailed me the full bracket to now I can look at. I think I actually might have scribbled it down correctly on my pad. So kudos to me on that. All right. So we have our bracket of 32. Now, this went off to the Survivor Supreme Court via email, Randy, where you gave them, what, one matchup at a time, or you gave them a number of matchups to mull over?
I sent them an email with a link to a Google form, actually, is the way I did it.
Wait, hold on. Start when you were born. All of the first whole life story.
Hey, Kiva, we need to know how this works.
No, I'm teasing. No, I can answer that. He sent it one round by one round.
Okay.
So it started off as a lot of work because they had to get back 16 names, you know, 16 matchups, but then it gradually halved. And Randy did a great job. He was keeping me abreast of the progress. And everyone was really, you know, we never had to replace anybody. I only had to like threaten two people. And
For the record with them, for the final round, for the final four, I sent them to it with the final four matchups and the four potential championships. So they don't even honestly know who is in the championship and who wins.
Wait, so literally only Randy Knupel, Nupple, I'm sorry, we'll get it. You were the only person on earth who knows who won this
bracket.
Bracket.
It's a true statement.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right.
Think about the power he yields right now, Rob.
Yeah. Well, I just hope nothing happens to him before the end of this podcast.
No, totally. It would be terrible. We'd have to like ask, we'd have to be like, email that whole list back and be like, all right, you need to like forward us that email. By the way, something terrible happened to Randy.
Now, Randy, what were the criteria that were given to the Survivor Supreme Court? Was it just like if these two people were on the same season, who would go further, or if you played it 100 times? What did you tell them to look at?
We told them to look at just their winning game and who do you think played the better winning game.
And they were able to define better by any way they wanted to.
Correct. And some of them looked at it from different perspectives. So I think it really got a good wide variety of their game.
Okay. All right. Again, you can print out your own Survivor March Madness bracket by going to robhasawebsite.com/March Madness. And of course, we will get you the complete results in part two of this podcast, which we will post in about 1 week's time. So, Keeb, do you want to talk us through the construction of the Survivor Supreme Court in greater detail?
Okay, so as I said, we have three podcasters, three fans, and three survivors. And obviously with fans, there's, you know, there was an infinite number of people to choose. So I went with who follows me on Twitter and will respond to Randy's emails very quickly. And also our super fans who have definitely watched every season many times.
Okay, good call.
Using those criteria, For the fans, we picked three super duper fans. We have Ali Giancola.
Okay.
Of, you know, she's really on a hot streak because she just booked, helped you book all 20 Game Changers podcasts, which were really good.
She's very thorough. First
very thorough
woman on the Survivor Supreme Court.
That's right. That's right. Historic. We actually have an even gender balance, as you'll find out in a minute.
Hold on. How does that
we
work?
We have, well, you'll find okay. out. And we have Aaron Robertson.
Yes.
The great Aaron Robertson. You know, writes some songs for RHAP. And we have Christine. We always mess up her name on the Seinfeld podcast. Radice, Radice, Radice. We're not sure.
Radice.
She's not even sure.
Radice.
We're not sure. The Hedgehog fan, Christine.
Okay.
So those are our three fans. And then we have three podcasters, sort of. We have the great Mike Bloom. You know, that's the first guy you're going to go to for something like this. Survivor historian, RHAP legend. That's, you know, he's a lock. Got to get Mike Bloom in there.
Yeah. Nobody can quibble with his qualifications for the Survivor Supreme Court.
No, absolutely not. Definitely not. No quibbling with his qualifications. We're just going to use all keywords.
Yes.
Megan Z, a newer podcaster. She was with Mike on the Celebrity Apprentice podcast. And, much like the Celebrity Apprentice, this might get canceled before the second round of the podcast.
Perhaps.
So we have Megan Z, we got Mike Bloom, and then in a blockbuster decision, I thought we could maybe go overseas and split the third podcaster role between two podcasters. And we have both Dom Harvey and Colin Stone needing to fight to the death and make a decision together on all of these choices.
Like the Pax brothers?
I don't watch Big Brother Canada, but I guess.
Randy, how did two podcasters as one court justice get through confirmation hearings in the Survivor Senate?
Dom and Colin are very convincing.
Okay.
Did they ever email you, without any spoiling anything, did they ever email you and say, like, we're just stuck here and we're fist fighting for this? We're just gonna,
the way
like,
they did
the
it, they sent their answers in the Google form, but then they sent their comments separately. And there is various times that you can see that one thought one and one thought the other. And we'll highlight a few.
How did they break a tie?
Well, he might not want to spoil that.
Okay. I mean, if they say they flipped a coin, I don't know what that's going to spoil.
Well, maybe they did something funnier than flip a coin, Rob.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting things.
Okay. And Randy, are the rumors confirmed that Dom and Colin potentially might be podcasting about their own journey through the Survivor Supreme Court?
That is what I'm hearing.
Okay. That's unconfirmed, those rumors. That's something that they may just never get around to it. They might have just been being nice. And, oh, yeah, this will be great. We'll podcast about it. So
knowing Dom and Colin, they'll probably do a great 8-hour podcast about it, but like release it in 2 years when no one remembers.
All right. So we have now six total justices, three fans, three podcasters, even though that one of those justices is actually two separate people. And then who were the three Survivor veterans that were on the Survivor Supreme Court?
Okay. So, you know, really, you know, we joke that like the show casts a lot of casuals or maybe people who become super fans after they're on the show. But this wasn't the easiest task, honestly, because you take out the 50 people who are either on season 34, like we said, or are winners. You're taking out a lot of, you know, someone like Cochran, who would be very capable of doing this, assuming that there was a chance he would respond to six different emails, which obviously was never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so you're taking, factoring those and someone who's reasonably responsible and going to respond. So you have to take out like the dirty 30 who probably don't have email addresses.
And people like unwarranted cheap shot, Keeve.
I'm sorry, but we actually did pick someone from there. So let's start off with Sharina Skui, because she is, you know, she's going to respond. And as when we did the draft podcast, not only will she respond, but she'll come up with like 10 different ideas to make the podcast better. She had all sorts of ideas.
Very thorough.
She was very thorough. She pointed out, let's not do any winners. Don't put anyone from 34. And she also has, you know, email addresses of all these people. So she was very helpful.
Okay, great.
In finding survivors. So then after Shireen, I was thinking who else is a really big super fan and, you know, has actually seen all 33 seasons. So the great Spencer Bledsoe is on the team.
Okay. Fantastic. The young lad joins us.
The young lad himself. And then, this was a very exciting that we got this person. I was, you know, I'm super happy that she agreed to do this and that she participated. Dawn Meehan.
Okay. Dawn Meehan. I feel like she's been out the game for a little while, Keeve. Happy to get Dawn on, and the senior justice of the Survivor Supreme Court.
Well, what do you bring age into this for? What does that mean?
Look, we want to get people from all walks of life. I think that's important.
Okay. Yeah, no, for sure. Very diverse panel.
Okay.
I also, yeah. And if anybody Venmos me $2, I'll let you know the one person who declined to join.
All right. So, Randy, is there anything else left to do in this part of the podcast in our Selection Sunday Berkowitz special?
No, I think we've covered all the guidelines.
Okay.
Here.
So what should people do with their bracket? Do you want to have people like screenshot it and post it on Twitter? Do we want to see those brackets, Randy?
Yeah, I predominantly use Twitter as my source of communication. So yeah, posting on Twitter is great. If you're a patron, maybe posting in the patron group, whatever you use.
All right, Keeve. So let's give out a hashtag for people to use for this. Do you want to go with your hashtag March Mad Dogness?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Okay. We need something unique. You can't do March Madness. There's going to be a million tweets for that. So that's March Mad Dogness. That's two D's in a row on Mad Dog. And so then you can let us know with your tweets who you have as the winner. You can take a screenshot of your bracket if you want. You can download your bracket. Go to robisawebsite.com/MargeMadness. Keeve, what else do people need? We got to figure out what our bet is going to be. It's you and I are going to fill out our bracket now.
And what does the winner get? I guess we could do this the same way you would do like, you know, Big Brother Bingo or something. Like if your bracket stinks, don't bother like sending it at the end. But if you think you might be the winner.
Well, how do we know somebody didn't listen to the results podcast and then fill out their bracket?
No, you post it after this podcast, but then you alert us. We're not going to like score 500 brackets if everyone's tweeting or texting or whatever. But if you alert us and say like, hey, maybe I won, then we'll check it out. And whoever has the highest score, then what do they get?
I don't know. You want me to interview them on the podcast?
No. Who would want to hear from them?
Well, they just, I don't know. Then what do people want?
They could come on 32 fans. That's a punishment, though.
Randy, do you have any insight on this?
I think they'd like a shout out. Just a shout out in a future podcast.
They get a shout out, and then we'll figure out. You know, how about this? I'll give them a voicemail free pass. Where not that they don't get to be the guests on the voicemail, but anytime they want, they have one like free pass where they can get their voicemail question on any podcast. Like it's like a slot pass on Big Brother, Keith.
Right. Okay. what a prize.
Even if their question is terrible, then if they use that pass, then they can get it on any week they want.
Perfect.
Okay. And that's a good I think that's a valuable prize, Keith. Street value, that's like at least $6.
Oh, no doubt. That's that we definitely should not have come out with these prizes before we went on the air. That was
and
perfect.
What about me versus you? What's our bet?
Okay, our bet, should we just bet like $100 per guess and then like we'll have a running tally?
$100 per guess?
I don't know.
Per guess of what?
Like, I'm saying like if per who we think is going to win each matchup, like if we have the same person there, you know, there's nothing, you know, no money changes hands. But let's say I think that, you know, Parvati won and you think Cochran won that matchup. That's, you know, that's that goes down to the. All right. But not $100.
Yeah, I don't know what goes on at your house, but I don't know how I'm going to explain to my wife of, yeah, I lost $800 today betting on Survivor brackets.
I just recorded a 4-hour podcast and lost $1,000. I don't know. Listen, I hear that gambling isn't fun unless like you're betting more money than you could possibly gamble, you know?
All right. Why don't we mull it over while we're filling out our brackets? And then when we come back with part two, we will come up with what we decided on for our bet. OK,
sure. So 5 minutes in real time.
5 minutes in real time for us when we come back for next week. All right. So hashtag March Mad Dogness. Randy, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is at Randy Noop, RandyKnup.
OK. And we'll put that in the show notes as well at Randy Noop. And then also Keeve is on Twitter. He is at Keeve26. Keeve, did you get to 1,000 followers yet? Did you crack that nut?
Yeah, cracked 1,000.
Okay, yeah, the glass ceiling is shattered.
Totally. They let me, like, they respect me again now, okay. My family. Everyone's on my
side. And of course, if this is the first time you're hearing Akiva and you're clamoring for more, you could hear him every week with me on our Seinfeld post-show recap, a podcast about nothing, over on postshowrecaps.com, where we are now, you know, rounding third and being waved home on, what, the final 30 episodes of Seinfeld? Are we there?
Yep, final 30.
Okay.
Are we allowing new listeners, though? I feel like we're just running with who we have at this point.
That you have to ask another listener for an invite, and then you can get the link to download them.
We should make it like a free Patreon or something, where like you have to take a test of like the stupidity from the first 150. To know,
well, this is the password now. We're password protecting the feed, so no new listeners for the final 30. All right. So great stuff, Randy. First off, thank you in advance for all the work you did on this. Akiva, it sounds like you did some work, but not nearly as much as Randy.
No, this was all Randy. It was Randy's idea. He did all the emails. We're just like the divas who are going to complain about it in a few.
Yes. Okay. Well, perfect. That's what we do best. Looking forward to hearing what you guys thought in the comments, of course, that you can post pictures of your bracket in the comments as well. Looking forward to hearing what you guys thought about this. And you have any final inspiring March Madness words, Keeve?
Well, my team, UConn, is not going to be there. So
upset special, baby.
Yeah. I'm going to say... Gonzaga loses in the second round.
Okay, there you go. And this is, we're recording this before they even release what the actual brackets are going to be.
Okay, so maybe we'll edit in some like a smart sounding prediction after.
Okay, great. All right, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.